അശേഷാ അൺലിമിറ്റഡ് സംക്ലേശ മിസറബിൾ കണ്ടീഷൻസ് ശമം സെസേഷൻ വിധത്തെ ക്യാൻ പെർഫോം ഗുണ അനുവാദ ഓഫ് ദ ട്രാൻസെൻഡൻ്റൽ നെയിം ഫോം ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈം എൻട്രാജ് ആൻഡ് പരഫെർനലിയ ശ്രവണം ഹിയറിംഗ് ആൻഡ് ചാൻറ്റിംഗ് മുരാരേഹ ഓഫ് മുരാരി ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ദ പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഹെഡ് കിം വാ വാട്ട് ടു സ്പീക്ക് ഓഫ് പുനഃ അഗൈൻ തത് ഹിസ് ചരണ അരവിന്ദ ലോട്ടസ് ഫീറ്റ് പരാഗസേവ to the service of the flavorful dust ratihi attraction atmalabdha one who have gained such self achievement translation simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name form etc of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. Two different methods for controlling the material senses are recommended in the Vedic scriptures, scriptural wisdom. One of them is the process of jnana or the path of philosophical understanding of the supreme brahman paramatma and bhagavan the other is that of direct engagement in the transcendental loving service of the lord of these two most popular methods the path of devotional service is recommended here as the best because one on the path of devotional service does not have to wait for the attainment of the fruitive results of pious activities or the results of knowledge. The two stages of executing devotional service are first, the stage of practicing devotional service with our present senses under the regulations of the recognized scriptures, and second, attaining sincere attachment for serving the particles of the dust of the Lord's, of the lotus feet of the Lord. The first stage is called sadhana bhakti or the devotional service for the neophyte which is rendered under the direction of a pure devotee and the second stage is called raga bhakti in which the mature devotee automatically takes to the various services of the Lord out of sincere attachment. The great sage Maitreya now gives the final answer to all the questions of Vidura. Devotional service to the Lord is the ultimate means to mitigate all the miserable conditions of material existence. The path of knowledge or that of mystic gymnastics may be adopted as a means for the purpose, but unless mixed with bhakti or devotional service, they are unable to award the desired result. By practicing sadhana bhakti, one may gradually rise to the point of raga bhakti. And by performing raga bhakti, in loving transcendental service, one can even control the supreme powerful lord om jnanatim randasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadam mahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതെ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച ಫಲಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಹಿಯರ್ ದೇರ್ಸ್ ಅ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಆನ್ ವೈ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್ ವಿ ಹರ್ಡ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ರೀಸನ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಎ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಎ ಸೊಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಟು ದ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಈವನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಅಶಮಂ. ಅಶಮಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಶಮಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸೆಸೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ವೈ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ವಾಸ್ ರಿಟನ್? ಸೊ ಒನ್ ರೀಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್. ಅನರ್ಥೋಪಮಂ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಭಕ್ತಿಯೋಗಂ ಅಧೋಕ್ಷಜೆ ಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಅಜಾನದ ಪುಂಸಾಂ ಕೃತ್ವ ಸಾತ್ವದ ಸಂಹಿತಾಂ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ವರ್ಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಇನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ವೈ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್ ರೋಟ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ರೀಸನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಅನರ್ಥೋಪಶಮಂ, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಟು ರಿಮೂವ್ ದ ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್, ಟು ರಿಮೂವ್ ದ the internal suffering which is causing the external suffering, means the anarthas. So to remove the suffering is one of the reasons for writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, there are higher reasons for Srimad Bhagavatam. However, that is a very important reason. So in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Swarup Damodar Goswami glorifies Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting a particular verse on his first arrival to Jagannathpuri. So in that verse, there are three reasons presented for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this verse is very important. So the first reason actually coincides with the reason given in here. That is to remove the suffering of the living entities. So as we know, we all came to Krishna consciousness due to various reasons, as Krishna classifies those reasons as, you know, someone who is coming because of suffering. Chaturvidha bhajandema jana sukritino arjuna artho jnyasir arthati jnani cha bhartashapa. So one is artha, one who is suffering. Similarly, Sarvadamada Goswami says, helo dhunida khedaya vishadaya pronmilidamodaya. So people are suffering in the material world. And how many of us came to Krishna consciousness looking for the absolute truth? Anyone came here looking for the absolute truth? Maybe some of you. I don't know. Some of you? Yes. Anyone came because of inquisitiveness? What is I have seen these people, what these people are up to. Inquisitiveness, yes. So I can see one person raised his hand that he came out of inquisitiveness. It is considered superior. Then some people come because of the need of money for economic development. Okay, if I approach Krishna, Krishna, we know Krishna is the Lakshmipati. He is the husband of goddess of fortune. So if I approach Krishna, I can get some money. So that is another reason. And for most of the people, the reason for appearing or coming to Krishna consciousness is because of suffering. So definitely it is a valid reason to begin Krishna consciousness. So in Akro devotion, a classic example is given of that of Gajendra, the elephant. He was artha, he was suffering, and because of that, he took a flower, a lotus flower, and offered to the Lord. And he remembered the verse which he was chanting in his previous birth as King Indradumna. So that is considered an example why a person, you know, approached the Lord for suffering. So here, the solution is given. How can one mitigate the suffering? And that is very nicely mentioned here. It is simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, qualities, pastime, entourage, and paraphernalia of the Lord. So if you chant about any of these things, one can definitely get mitigation from suffering. So in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, here the same canto, it is a similar verse is presented, which says that one has to first stop prajalpa, because we have such an attachment to talk nonsense. And especially if you are criticizing someone, or if you are talking something bad about someone, then we have a rasa for that. We have a taste for that. Mm-hmm. We can keep on speaking, and there is a pleasure in that. It's very negative. It is very, you know, very low class, but we do have a taste for that in hearing and also in speaking. So there it's mentioned in the same canto, lokamscha lokam anugatam pashumscha. So he said, people are just following, or they are living an animalistic life, and they are just criticizing others, following the all animalistic propensities. So the instruction is again very straightforward. Hitva chidarthe charanata patram. So just give up those tendencies and take shelter of the Lord's feet of Krishna. And what is the process that is given in here? That is the same thing. Parasparam tat gunavada sidhu. One just drink the intoxicating nectar of the pastimes, names and qualities of the Supreme Lord. So here, this is one habit we need to develop. When we are with our friends, when we are with our, you know, speaking in our prasadam hall, anywhere, we need to include some topics of Krishna. Of course, we don't actually say, okay, we shouldn't speak anything, you know, how are you, what are you doing, what are your problems, you know. We discuss all these kind of different things. But at the same time, we should never forget to include topics of Krishna in our regular conversations. It is very important, because that helps us to remember Krishna. And when we do discuss about Krishna, then we can see that the whole conversation goes to a completely different level. So many points comes. We talk about Krishna, so many different pastimes. Okay, this happened, that happened, this verse, that verse. So many things come. So then we can see that our consciousness is transcending the material plane. So this is a practice, even in our regular conversations, how to include Krishna. So if you try to include Krishna when we are preaching, also it becomes much easier to bring in Krishna. Then it becomes much easier for us to remember Krishna when we are outside in the street or going anywhere. We can think about Krishna. So all these things actually start with practice. It doesn't happen automatically. So it is mentioned here in the beginning of the purport that there are two ways to mitigate suffering. So one is jnana and second is bhakti. So Krishna makes it very clear in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Klesho adhika tarastesham avyakta asakta chetasam avyaktam hi gadir dukham dehavadbhar avapyate. Arjuna, in the beginning of 12th chapter itself, asks, you know, which is a better path? Shall I follow, worship the impersonal Brahman through meditation? Or shall I just worship you, Krishna? And Krishna makes it very clear, it is very much easier to worship me directly rather than meditating on the impersonal Brahman, because it is a path of misery, it is a path of difficulties, and we don't have ability to do so. So Krishna recommends directly that you just follow bhakti. As it is mentioned, two reasons are given here. If you are following karma, then one has to wait for the results of the fruitive activities, in the sense one need to accrue piety to make further progress. And if one is following jnana, one has to gain knowledge and one has to realize knowledge. And then one can step up in the ladder of yoga. Whereas bhakti is the direct process. Directly one can know about Krishna, one can directly chant, one can glorify, one can directly engage in the service of Krishna. It's a direct process. And this process starts with sadhana. So that is the emphasis given here, sadhana. We already spoke about sadhana in terms of speaking about Krishna. So what we are following is sadhana bhakti. And in particularly, it is vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Means we follow sadhana bhakti according to rules and regulations. And Prabhupada very succinctly presents the point of sadhana bhakti in this verse, not getting into the details, that basically engaging the external senses in service of Krishna. As Nectar Devotion says, kritaya sadhya bhave sadhya. So basically, engage the senses in service of Krishna. This is sadhana bhakti. A of course, mind also, because in the process of engaging the senses, Krishna Smaranam is part of it. So thinking about Krishna is there, and then engaging the senses in service of Krishna. So this is the whole idea of sadhana bhakti according to rules and regulations. So otherwise, think about ourselves. If we don't engage in sadhana bhakti, do we feel like getting up in the morning? Do we feel like chanting? Do we feel like doing the services? May not. Sometimes we do feel like that. But on a regular basis, may not. So, we need the help of sadhana bhakti. We need the help of vaidhi. We need the help of rules and regulations. The purpose of rules and regulations is to think of Krishna. Sarva vidhi nishtayatayoho etayo eva kinkara. All the rules and regulations are the servant of smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavya na kenachit. One should always remember Krishna and never forget him. So everything is basically to remember Krishna and to never forget him. And all the rules and regulations are for this purpose. Now, in our sadhana bhakti, when we try to practice sadhana bhakti, we can observe our consciousness, which is very important. When we are asked to do some service, or when we are doing some service, or when we have finished our service, check our consciousness, what we are thinking. Are we thinking of Krishna, or are we thinking it's a burden? We do think like that. Service, oh no, again. Again I had to do this. Again, you know, somebody's asking me to do this. You know, I'm already busy. I've already done so much service. Again I have to do service? Of course, there is one thing. If one is busy with some service, and if it is hindering the other service, one can say, I am doing already this thing, so I can't do this, which is fair enough. Otherwise, our consciousness can go everywhere. So, in service, we need to see, check our consciousness. Where is our consciousness? Is it in Krishna or something else? So, if we are thinking about Krishna, then we can actually enjoy our service. Even though it is meant for the pleasure of Krishna, in return, because of right consciousness, Krishna awards us some enjoyment. So we become happy doing our service. So that is very important. Just being happy doing our service. That in itself is a good preaching. Just happy. Chanting is, you know, one should be happy chanting Krishna's names. One should be happy hearing about Krishna. One should be happy while serving Krishna. So this is the essence of sadhana bhakti. So even if we are not happy, still we have to continue. Prabhupada says, one time one of Srila Prabhupada's servant was, you know, always upset. He was serving him, but his face was always long face, you know, just not happy at all. So Prabhupada called him and told him, how long do I have to see your long face? It just simply means, bhakti is susukham kartum avyam. One has to be happy in devotional service. If one is not happy in devotional service, then it just means one thing. There is something wrong in the application of bhakti. Nothing else. Many senior Vaishnavas, many sannyasis, many gurus, they ask their disciple, are you happy in Krishna consciousness? I have heard this many times. Even in many lectures, very, very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, first question they ask is, are you happy in Krishna consciousness? So that is a byproduct of bhakti. One will be happy in Krishna consciousness. So if not, one has to see what is actually causing the problem. What is wrong in our application. So when we see that, yes, then we can see something is going wrong in my mentality in the application of Krishna consciousness. So when we clear that, then things can become much better. And Srila Prabhupada explains, this sadhana bhakti is done under the guidance of the spiritual master. And when it is further advanced, it actually matures to raga bhakti. And even in the sadhana stage, so there are, we can understand raga can in different stages. One stage of raga bhakti, which is just above vaidhi sadhana bhakti, is raga niga sadhana bhakti. So this is one important limb of devotional service, raga niga sadhana bhakti. It's again, it is sadhana, it is practice, but it's very advanced. That is also advanced. And in sadhana stage, we need to see, are we, you know, making our progress towards raga bhakti? We can observe that. Srila Prabhupada very, very, very eloquently and very simply and very lucidly presents, very lucidly he presents in the Nectar Devotion about raga niga bhakti. Prabhupada says, and here also in this purport as well, Prabhupada says that in the Raganuga stage, one has a spontaneous attraction for service to Krishna. And Prabhupada gives this example in with respect to deity worship. That is, while one is getting up, one is naturally thinking, you know, how am I going to dress Krishna? How am I going to do arati for Krishna? One has attraction. And one is planning how to serve Krishna. So when one is spontaneously planning to serve Krishna, yes, we can see this is, we are moving towards Raga Bhakti in the Raganika stage, even in the sadhana stage. So wanted to see that, are we actually moving? Are we getting this attraction for Krishna? Not all the time, at least are we moving in that direction? Which is actually a sign of our progress. It is applicable to service to Krishna. It is applicable to reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Are we getting a taste in reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Are we feeling like, oh, if I could read Srimad Bhagavatam? We may not have the full attraction for that, but at least to some degree, oh, I want to really read Srila Prabhupada's books. I want to know about Krishna. Are we thinking about Krishna? Because thinking about Krishna is part of sadhana bhakti, and it matures in raga bhakti, in raganuga bhakti. Because that is one of the essence of raganuga bhakti. Even though it is sadhana, it's the essence of raganuga bhakti. Krishna smaran, always thinking about Krishna. It was one of the essence. So we had to see how is our chanting. Are we thinking about Krishna? In chanting, in our service. And are we developing any taste while chanting? Or is it mechanical? So we need to observe ourselves. So when we see that we are making any progress, then we can see, okay, we are moving in the right direction. We need to see that. If we are not seeing, we need to take some actions to make some progress. So when we talk about developing some attraction for Krishna, one essential feature is that one need to know about Krishna. That actually makes the huge difference between our philosophy and other philosophies. It's very simple that in Krishna consciousness, we know about God. And there is so much of details on God. And as sadhaka bhaktas, to make progress, we need to understand more about Krishna. Very simple. If we know more about Krishna, then we develop attraction for Krishna. So, on the one level, we understand about Krishna. On the next level, we develop appreciation for Krishna. And once we develop appreciation for Krishna, we develop attraction for Krishna. So there is appreciation in between some knowledge about Krishna and the attraction for Krishna. So first, as a first step, we need to know something about Krishna. We need to read Krishna's pastimes. We need to read about Krishna's form. So many verses in Bhagavatam describes form of Krishna. And in Nectar of Devotion, so many very essential verses are presented in Nectar of Devotion. So one can read, one can understand, okay, how is Krishna, how Krishna is beautiful. So beautiful description given about Krishna's different stages of life. So many beautiful descriptions given on the activities of Krishna in those different stages. Then so much of wonderful description given on Krishna's qualities, 64 qualities of Krishna. So all these verses are presented for us to develop attraction for Krishna, first to develop appreciation for Krishna. So when we read all these kind of things and when we think about it, it's not just reading, read and think about it. So it can happen along with our sadhana bhakti. It can happen while we are doing service, when we are walking, anytime we can think about Krishna. And sure enough, these statements are so attractive. The glories of the form of the Lord, it is so attractive. The glories of the qualities of Krishna is so attractive. The pastimes of Krishna are so attractive. So we need to read them. As a first step, we need to read them. We need to understand. We need to assimilate. Okay, this is what Krishna is doing. This is how Krishna looks like. These are the glories of Krishna. And then think about them. In our, any time, you know, mind has a lot of space. The only thing is we misuse our mind. That's the reason in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, mind is such an important thing. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very important verse spoken by Krishna to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita. Krishna says that if we are still contemplating on the object of senses, if you are contemplating on sense gratification, then the material existence is present for such a person in its completeness, even though factually it is non-existent. See? So just by contemplation, actually the material existence, the jiva, the pure soul, doesn't have material existence. In one sense, it is just covered. The jiva is actually transcendental. But why we are feeling that we are completely, you know, we are engrossed by matter and we are being pulled by matter in so many different directions? Because of our mind. Because of contemplation on sense gratification. That is the only reason. Krishna makes it very clear. Arthehi avidyamanebi samsirthir na vidyate dhyayato vishyanasya dukhe anarthagavano yatha. So the example Krishna gives in swapne anarthagamano yatha. In swapna, in the sleep, when you have bad dreams, it actually, even after the very bad dream, even if you get up, still there is an impact of that bad dream. Oh, such a horrible dream. You know, people even wake up, you know, crying, get up, and then still that effect is there. In the same way, even the factually material existence is not there for the jiva, still because of contemplation on the object of senses. Dhyayato vishyanasya. Only because of that reason, we have the complete material existence. So that's where the mind is playing such a pivotal role in our Krishna consciousness. So sadhana bhakti starts with thinking about Krishna. So we need to think about Krishna. And further progress in Krishna consciousness also depends on thinking about Krishna. It is a key factor. So that's why we need to really get absorbed about all the aspects of Krishna and use our mind in thinking about Krishna, thinking about service of Krishna, everything in connection to Krishna. So when we practice this, then we can see that there is definitely a change in our consciousness. Then we can see a different world. It's not the same anymore. It's different. If you are thinking about Krishna and if you are doing a service, it is completely different from otherwise. So this is sadhana bhakti, and we need to push this sadhana bhakti to develop some attraction for Krishna. And in Raga Bhakti, as Srila Prabhupada says, when it is perfected, even in the Raganuga stage, there is a constant remembrance of Krishna. And if we have to constantly remember of Krishna, one qualification is that one should be out of anarthas. So, and one need to have the intense desire to think about Krishna. So if we ask why we are unable to think about Krishna so intensely or so constantly, because we don't have that desire. And what is actually affecting our desire to think about Krishna? That is the anarthas in our heart. So it is said, if one has to really think about Krishna, one has to pass through anartha niruti. One has to get rid of anarthas. And then, after the anartha niruti, when nishtha, one's thinking of Krishna becomes more steady. And it can be further advanced in further stages. But in the beginning, as neophyte, we are practicing sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. So at least we need to practice it nicely. We need to actually apply ourselves into sadhana bhakti. But knowing more about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and applying in our day-to-day life. If not, years can pass. Years can pass. Years will not just bring in bhakti. Years will not bring in bhakti as such. One's focused mind, one's focused effort is required to develop bhakti. Of course, that will attract Krishna's mercy, of course. But one need to endeavor for that. One time, Maharaj was asking the assembly of devotees that how many of you have read Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, including, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there were devotees who were practicing, you know, 7 to 10 years. But many of them hadn't read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some of them had read Srimad Bhagavatam, some of them hadn't even read Srimad Bhagavatam. You understand? So it becomes very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's why we need to know more about Krishna. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So years will pass. We need to ask about ourselves. Are we really reading Krishna, about Srila Prabhupada's books? Are we making progress? So if you do so, it's nice. The process will elevate us. We have sincere effort, then process will elevate us. We don't need to do anything extraneously, as it is mentioned here. Jnana and, you know, karma and stuff like that, we don't need to do anything. then the process becomes susukham kartum avayam. Otherwise, it will not be susukham because of wrong application. So I'll just stop here and see if there are any questions. And finally, I will just make one more point, because here the translation is speaking about, therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. So it is, actually it is presenting the two aspects. Initially it is presenting just chanting and hearing about Krishna. So at the beginning stage, and that is further advancing not just service, but one who has attained serving the lotus feet of Krishna. So that is an advanced stage where one is really attracted. So that is showing the raga bhakti. One already has developed attraction for Krishna. And for what to speak about them? So for them, there is no question of material miseries. They are always in transcendental happiness. So initially, we can see there is a mix of happiness and distress. One is because one is still identifying with material happiness and distress. So we have material happiness and distress. And in an advanced level, one is not identifying with material misery and distress. The Prabhupada says, you know, both are actually distress. Material happiness and material distress, both are distress. Prabhupada gives the example of, if you go to a salt mine, whatever you make out of salt is salt. In the same way, if you, in the material realm, whether it is happiness or distress, both are material. So a devotee is not elated by happiness, nor one is completely despondent because of misery. Rather, one is enjoying. One is actually enjoying in the spiritual realm. So I stop here and see, is there any questions, comments, corrections, any other points? Yes, Prabhu, yeah.
The flavor of the dust.
Yeah. And I have much realization. You want to say something? Yeah. Krishna's lotus feet is described over and over in Srimad Bhagavatam. One aspect of Krishna's lotus feet is that it actually mitigates the misery of material existence. That's why in the 10th canto there are a couple of verses presenting the same thing. Samashritaye padavallo plam mahatpadam punyeshoye murare bhambud vatsapadam paramampadam padam padam yad vipadam nadesham. Similarly, there is one more verse speaking by the demigods. Kurvandi govatsapadam mahabdhim. Same meaning. Kurvandi govatsapadam mahabdhim. The whole ocean becomes just the water in the hoof print of a calf. So why? So this is an 11th canto also, the same point is mentioned. Krishna's lotus feet is compared to Dhumaketu. And it's like a fiery comet which can burn anything. It can burn any material suffering. It can mitigate. Then again, Krishna's lotus feet is glorified in the Prathama Raj, this past time there is a mentioned Adabatram, Charanadabatram. Yeah, in the third canto actually, not in Prathamaraj's past time, in the third canto, I was quoting that verse before, you know, Lokam Shalokam Anigatam Pashumsha, in that verse comes Parasparam to Gunavada Situ Piyusha Nirmavita Deha Dharma. There is a mention about the Charanadabatram. Again, the lotus feet of the Lord is compared to Adabatram. Adabatram means umbrella. And umbrella is used to, you know, protect one from the scorching heat of the material existence. So that is another, and it is one place it is mentioned, it is like showering the nectar. It's an atapatram, an umbrella that actually showers the nectar. So there are many analogies given to glorify Krishna's lotus feet in connection to the material world. So these are all focusing on one point, that is, it can actually mitigate the misery in the material existence. So that is one aspect of Krishna's, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Even though that is not the higher aspect of Krishna's lotus feet. And that is, higher aspect is coming from service to Krishna's lotus feet. Remembering Krishna's lotus feet. And that's what is mentioned here as the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. So what is that dust of Krishna's lotus feet? It's mentioned, Krishna, there is a color to The dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Do you know what is the color of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet? Anyone knows? Yeah? Saffron, yes, that's right. So that is the significance of saffron. So, you know, brahmacharis wear saffron, sannyasis wear saffron. The reason for wearing the saffron, it is indicating to take the shelter of dust of lotus feet of Krishna. So that is the indication of this color of saffron. So that is that saffron particles are present on the lotus feet of Krishna. And the flavor of service is in the, it is presented in the flavor. We do experience some flavor in serving Krishna according to our bhakti. And in the highest level, the flavors are given as classified as Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So these are the flavors in serving the dust of lotus feet of Krishna. I think Madhuri had a question. Is that fine?
Then also talking about the serving the dust or the pure devotees.
Yes, that's right. Because serving the pure devotees of the Lord, one gets the lotus feet of Krishna. Yeah, thank you. Yes, Madhuri. Yeah.
So contemplation comes by the mind,
by
thinking. Yeah. Yes. Suppose the jiva is already contemplated on the sense object.
Yeah.
And now because of the Krishna's mercy, it is seen that it's just a contemplation.
Yeah.
But it's already in the thinking, feeling, feeling stage.
Yeah.
Is it a necessity that the jiva needs to fulfill those kind of desires?
Need to fulfill. If it's in the thinking stage, whether one needs to fulfill that desire or... Is that the question? No, one doesn't have to. That's why we have our free will, we have our intelligence. That if it is in the thinking stage, let it be in the thinking stage. Yeah, question is, the mind goes through three stages, thinking, feeling and willing. So, can we stop at the thinking stage, the sense objects? Of course one can.
That...
What is feeling and feeling willing stage? Or
can you stop at feeling and willing stage?
Yeah, one can stop. Willing, it can be hard because that's what you want. You still one can. Yeah, feeling, of course, one can. One is experiencing. You know, yeah, I want that, and how is it going to be if I have that? So one is experiencing and enjoying. You know, feeling means there is an enjoyment. Emotion is attached. So one is enjoying, and then willing. You know, I need that. Still, one that also one can stop, even if one is willing, I need that, still one can stop that by transcendental knowledge, by bhakti. Bhakti knowledge, one can even stop that. And even if, you know, we pray to Krishna, sometimes I want that, then we can pray to Krishna, Krishna, I feel like I want, but can you please remove that desire from my heart? I feel like so. I think this is done, yeah. Oh, you have one, okay. Oh, that is a humility of Mahaprabhu is acting as a devotee, so Mahaprabhu is showing the humility of a devotee. And he is showing a sadhaka. If sadhaka allows someone to touch the feet, you know, one has to understand that one is getting some karma. If we touch someone's feet, we are giving some karma. And whoever we are touching the feet, they are getting some karma. So, Prabhupada explains in Charana Chaitanya Charitamrita in one of the purports. So, one has to be careful. It's not just a joke. You know, we take it as a joke. You know, just, you know, touching the feet. You know, we just move around. But it's very clearly mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purport that if you touch someone's feet, we are giving some karma. And he is accepting some karma. So, what he said is right. If the lady, even a sinful lady, touches the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, nothing will happen to him. He's a supreme lord. but he is showing the position of a devotee. What is that?
Isn't chanting Hare Krishna enough to nullify the sin?
Yeah, we cannot. That's not our the objective of chanting, or it's not the right mood of chanting. To okay, I will take some sinful reaction and I will chant and I will burn everything. I will lose some. You know, that's not the mood of a devotee.
And also, we don't chant purely.
Yeah.
You chant.
He's mentioning about Mahaprabhu, I believe. You're mentioning about Mahaprabhu. He's talking about Mahaprabhu. For us, you are asking?
Sorry,
you are pointing about Mahaprabhu or us?
No, I am speaking about Mahaprabhu.
Oh, Mahaprabhu, okay. Mahaprabhu, he can, but you know, he is showing how we should act, rather. For a sadhaka, how a sadhaka should act. Yes, Prabhu.
One should not accept dry renunciation.
Mm. Good
but,
point.
How to discriminate between a potential we in the name of devotional service. Like you may be thinking that you need something within devotional service, but you're also cautious because it may also be a weed. How to discriminate before you take that action to pursue maybe an object to use in Krishna service?
Mm.
And how to discriminate between, okay, I may need that in devotional service because I don't want to accept dry renunciation.
Mm.
But at the same time, I have to be cautious because if I accept that object in sense in Krishna's service, it may appear to be helping my kripa, but it also may be weak. So that, how to discriminate?
Mm. Very good question. It's a good question. Rupa Goswami says, Anasaktisya Vishyan Yatharvam Upayanchada Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhek Yuktam Vairagi Machate. In this verse, Yukta Vairagi is a very high principle actually. Yukta Vairagi, using everything in service of Krishna. That is seeing, you know, using everything in service of Krishna means one can see the energy of Krishna and the energetic. And he is actually using energy for the service of the energetics. It's a very high principle if you think about it. It's actually a very high principle. Even though Srila Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami, they presented for us, it's a very, very, it's actually considered a confidential principle. Now, the bottom level, the most underlying point about your question, that is, how can we discriminate between dry renunciation and real renunciation, is by seeing the result. That is, whether it is helping our bhakti or not, whether are we actually developing attraction for Krishna, are we, our bhakti is increasing, our attitude is developing, all the proper attitude is developing, like that. So that is the end result. If it is happening, then we can see whether it is the right renunciation or not. Now, having said this, in this verse, Anasakta Sivishyan, there is a very important word, which is very difficult to follow. So that is Anasaktasya, the beginning word is actually very difficult to follow. Anasaktasya means we are engaging things in service of Krishna without any attachment. So we always say yuktam vairagyam uchade, we are yukta vairagya, we are using everything in service of Krishna. Yes, but the problem is we may be attached to something. I want the latest car, I want the latest phone, I want the latest, you know, TV, I want everything latest. And of course, why? Because I had to use in service of Krishna. You know, so this is not actually Yukta Vairagya. Because Asakti is there. It's not Anasaktasya. It's not Anasakti. Asakti is there. So strong attachment is there. And because of strong attachment, we are buying. Because anyway, we are buying, okay, we may as well use a little bit in service of Krishna. Okay, so this is not Yukta Vairagya. So here, if we are making decisions based on Yukta Vairagya, and if they are important decisions, we may have to, either one can ask oneself based on Shastra, our level, then one can consult senior devotees, guru, one can consult. So then we know, are we doing actually Yukta Vairagya, or we have, because we have Asakti, we are doing that. It's a tricky, there is a fine line. It can come to anything, you know. We want to buy many things, you know. We want to do many things. We want to travel, we want to do this, that, everything. Then finally say everything for Krishna. That will become the end for Krishna, just add it for free. But actually it is not. One has to really take guidance and think everything. Yes.
Well, like things that come of their own accord.
Yeah. That is the right thing. One things comes along, we can use it. One may have to buy, one may have to do things as well, but one has to make the right decision, if required, with consultation. How we have to know, it's like I'll just give you an example. One devotee he told me 6 feet. It's a simple thing. It's nothing super great. So this devotee was preaching and he had a laptop, so it was working, everything was fine. So another devotee, he was preaching to one congregation wherever, and they offered him, we'll give you a new laptop, okay, new MacBook I will give you. So this devotee, he said to me, he didn't accept. Because this one, it is working fine, and it is actually needful for his service, and it is happening nicely. So, in one sense, the new laptop came according to its own accord. But since he found that the one he's using, it is sufficient for his service, he didn't accept. So, I feel, in one sense, this is Yukta Vairagya, because he didn't actually throw what he had, which is perfectly fine, and, just going for the latest, so... That's also Yukta Vairagya. One has to really see what is useful for the service. And in that regard, in making that decision, if we need guidance, we can take the guidance. I can't do everything perfectly with my own decision. Ask. Then we get to know what to do. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.